A sleep divorce happens when bed partners sleep in different rooms because one of them has a snoring problem. It's nothing to be embarrassed about, but it is unfortunate, especially when there are simple, non-surgical solutions that can put snoring problems to bed for good. I'm Dr. Madan Kandula with Advent, where our exclusive focus is the nose and throat, which is exactly where your snoring problem is coming from. If 20 years ago you told me I'd be helping relationships flourish again, I'd have laughed. But in many cases, that is the case. Because helping your bed partner stop snoring so the two of you can get back to sleeping together again can do just that.
You can now experience Advent's expert medical care from the comfort and safety of your home with a virtual visit. Text the word ADVENT to 797979 to schedule a virtual visit today or go to adventknows.com because Advent knows when you breathe well, you live better.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the score is there for you.
I appreciate the tone that you guys have taken and wish more would follow suit. Keep it up.
You guys give us a chance to take a break, and that's what we all need right now.
Thank you for the distraction from the coronavirus. I appreciate what you guys are doing.
We are Chicago's number one sports station, 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Big Ann, I appreciate the time. I'll see you on STL coming up a little bit later on tonight.
All right, I'm trying to decide if I'm going to shave because my facial hair situation is, I haven't had to groom myself very much lately. I'm trying to determine if I'm going to reshape my spotty beard right now, do something with that, or if I'm just going to go baby face. I'll let you know before we get on the air.
Well, I'm not doing it. Like, I'm committed to looking like Frederick Douglass by the end of all of this.
I just don't think I have it in me. That's the problem. I cannot grow a fully formed beard. I was kind of taking advantage of this stretch not being on camera to really give it a go. And I'm just not impressed with what I got going a couple of weeks into this phase. I'm probably going to shave it.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Did shave, and if you're looking for a picture, it's on my Instagram account at Lawrence W. Holmes. You can see that Big Ant did shave and that I did not shave. I am, like I said, I'm fully committed to letting this thing go. I got through the itchy phase, which is usually the thing that prompts me to shave my beard off. But I've decided that I am going to power through all of this and see where this beard goes. And I'm going for a Frederick Douglass, like Cornel West. I'll settle for a Jeffrey Wright type thing. Like, that's pretty close. But you can see the picture. I've got the salt and pepper going in my beard as we speak. So if you go to, it's the latest post that I put on Instagram, at Lawrence W. Holmes, you can see that Big Ant was not confident in his beard game, and he shaved it off. He looked good. He looked good, but I think he needs to go back and see if he can make that whole thing work. Here's what we have planned for you today. Siafa Lewis is going to be our guest at 1:30 for Whatcha Watchin'. Sean Frazier, the athletic director of Northern Illinois University, he actually reached out to me a couple days ago and said that he'd love to come on and just hang out. But now there's significant news about the NCAA, which is where we're going to start this conversation. If you've kind of tuned out on like what the news of the day is in sports, like I totally understand that. But yesterday, the NCAA approved a blanket waiver for all spring sport athletes. So baseball, lacrosse, softball, men's volleyball, all spring sport athletes to get an extra year of eligibility. It's complicated, though, for a lot of different reasons. And football, who knows what's going to happen with football. So I thought that we would check in with our friend Pete Futek, who is the publisher of College Football News. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out in Melrose Park. Hey, Pete.
What's going on? I want to see you fully commit and go, like, full Corona playoff beard and just, until there's a vaccine, I'm not shaving it. That would be a true commitment.
Well, I have decided that until this is over, like, until, like, I can leave my house and go see my team and all that stuff, like, the beard is staying. So far, that's so good. Fantastic. I mean, honestly, I haven't grown my hair out this long in 10 years.
Oh, like, man, to be completely dated, I am, if you look at any, like, the 1960s, the Monkees, I'm full Peter Tork or Mickey Dolenz at this point with the goofy, really long, bad long hair. It's where it just doesn't work at all right now. And it's going to have to stay this way. So me and Hats are becoming really good friends at this point.
Well, I do enjoy, like, wearing some of, because some of the rules are a little more loose now when we're doing the TV stuff from home. So I actually did a promo for NBC Sports Chicago wearing a cap, and I was totally okay with that. I think that's something that we should be allowed to do. But I'm going for this beard thing, man. I'm going to see where it goes, and I'm so far I am a little dismayed at how much salt is in there. But
also,
you know,
you have to have the ultra pretentious backdrop of, like, all these books that you, like, might have read and are keeping for some strange reason, like every other TV personality right now seems to have their bookshelves in the back. Like, oh, okay, you read that. Ooh. You know, that guy, too.
Well, I'm even more pretentious. My degrees are behind me in my backdrop.
Oh, that's cool. That's fine.
It's in my office.
Go for it. Absolutely.
But I do have my bookcase, like, off to the side, so you can see a little bit, but mostly the stuff in my bookcase is, like, comic book stuff and bobblehead.
I have a couple of the original Campus Insiders backdrop things still. I somehow had them and just kept them. And so I have like the Oklahoma cheerleaders. Where, no, I'm not keeping, of course, they're attractive. I'm keeping them because it's like, it's the original set when that thing first happened. And they dumped it from the old Harpo Studios. And I'm just like, yeah, these are kind of cool pictures. I'll just hang on to them. And I just never got rid of them.
I've been thinking about the concept of backdrops and stuff. Like, now that I'm doing more of this from my office and, like, trying to make sure that my office is at least a little bit presentable behind me, because usually it's cluttered like my mind. But now that we're doing more stuff, I keep wondering, man, is NBC Sports Chicago going to invest in sending us some backdrops? Are we going to have that? Or is the Score maybe going to do that for if we ever have to do this again and there's a video component to doing the radio show? Like, I don't know, but I'm down for it.
I mean, Zoom and everything else, all you just need is just a video automatic backdrop. You can do this digitally. You can be Hawaii right now if you want.
I mean, Hawaii would be nice. I would just like it if the weather broke here just well enough that all of us could take a little walk by ourselves outside. Like, that would be ideal for me.
Which is exactly what I'm doing. I'm Omega Man on the streets right now. I am. There's nobody else around. I am social distancing from the world. This whole area is mine at this point.
Well, that's the way that I think that all of us should approach it. Like, you can still get your my brother, I don't know if he's right about this. This it felt very anecdotal, but my brother was saying to me, we were talking on FaceTime, and he goes, "Have you noticed that the air kind of feels cleaner when you're outside?" And I don't know if anyone, if the weather people can do any reports on it or whatever, if they're environmentalists that have studies that are going on. Yeah. But I will say that it has felt cleaner.
Across the world, that's happening. That's every you know. You see the in Venice where the water's cleaned up, and over various provinces in China, how the pollution's cleared. Yeah, absolutely. I'm there. It feels crisp and clean outside right now. But my life in my work world is around quarantining and isolation. So really, not much of a change in how my day to day operations have to work to do all this.
Yeah, it was pointed out to me that I actually am kind of built for this, and especially, like, you do a radio show for the most part, like, I'm in a studio by myself anyway, and now, like, you're adding the home element to it. Like, I got it. Like, I'm sitting here, like, got my laptop, I'm watching what's on the TV right now, I got my reads, I got my stories, and I'm talking to you. So it works out really well. So look, I appreciate you kind of giving the worldview, which is really nice. I did want to pick your brain about the news of the day. What did you think of the NCAA saying we're going to grant a waiver to the spring sport athletes and allow them to be eligible for another year?
Yeah, it doesn't really affect football necessarily, but it does. Yeah, why not? Because they're not playing. So the NCAA is going to have to be really sort of loose with some of its hard rules all across the board. Because, yeah, okay, the winter sports, I kind of get, because you already kind of did it. You already, you know, played basketball and you already did all these other things. I am a noted anti-non-revenue sportite. So, all right, if you're not getting, you know, being able to do your sport that nobody cares or watches, okay, fine. But that's going to be part of this whole thing for athletic directors. And to take this to another level, there's real money involved here that they're going to have to figure out, because what athletic directors, I mean, we're only, you know, 2.5 weeks into this, really, since the NBA shut down. And nobody really has a handle on what's going to happen come fall, especially with everything else that's possibly about to happen. And athletic directors across the board have kind of this mishmash view of the world where, you know, well, we need to kind of have fans in the stands. And I was like, no, you're not getting fans in the stands if you're having games at all. So they're going to have to prep that they're just not going to have the money there to fund a lot of these non-revenue sports. But, okay, if you're going to extend the spring sports, okay, for a year, what happens then if that goes into fall sports? If this starts to get into football and eligibility, this is going to get really funky really fast. And on another note with this is kind of reading the room of how this is all playing out. How ticked are you right now if you're like Najee Harris or Travis Etienne and you didn't declare for the NFL draft? Because you could have gone out and gotten paid right now. And if you're Trevor Lawrence, there's got to be a slight part of you that says, okay, no season, I'm the number one pick next year no matter what. I'm not going to get hurt. Okay, let's not have a season, and I'll just preserve my multi-million dollars that are coming my way.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, and you're right about the money being real. You know, I've who's done some great reporting on this? Nicole Auerbach of the yep. Athletic. She's been phenomenal on this, and some of the stuff that she wrote, the fact that the main difference in cash is, if you look at the NCAA and what all of the partner schools in the NCAA, they were going to divvy up $600 million from the NCAA tournament. And now that money looks like $225 million. And that's significant. And they're going to have to tap into some of the reserves. And then you have to figure out, because the thing that's interesting about this is that each school is going to be able to adjust the scholarship amount for the spring athlete. That it's not just a blanket, you're going to be 100% committed financial aid-wise. And so there are going to be a lot of decisions that have to be made, and it's going to be interesting to see what choices the student-athletes make of, like, you know what? Like, yeah, I got my degree, and, yeah, I didn't get to play my senior year, but perhaps I'm ready to move on to something else. Or if they're like, well, maybe I won't get a full package, but I can get started on a master's degree.
Sure.
or a PhD. Maybe that becomes worth it to them too.
Oh, absolutely. And who knows what the job market's going to be, you know, for these guys, men and women, to leave school early and all that. It'll be interesting to see. You said, I catch you're going to talk to Sean Frazier later. Is that what you said?
Yes, we're going to talk at 1 o'clock. I can't wait to hear what he says.
Yeah, because there's a massive difference there where if you're Northern Illinois or a MAC school where, all right, yeah, attendance kind of matters, but you're not getting the 100,000 people that like a Michigan's going to get or a Tennessee's going to get. So the difference in how you're planning your athletic department budget doesn't necessarily revolve around fans in the stands for football for, you know, a Northern Illinois quite as much as you're seeing the panic happening at like SEC and Big Ten schools where, okay, they make a bazillion dollars off of TV, but they need the people, they need the butts in the seats. And if you're an athletic director right now and you're not at least planning that there's no chance that there might be football. They might figure out something. There's too much of a vested interest not to have some game on the field that's televised just because, you know, 5 or 6 months from now. But the idea of packing fans in the stands with no way to, no cure or vaccine yet, especially if you're not able to test every fan, plus who has the disposable income necessary to go to these games, you're just not doing your job as an AD if you're just assuming, all right, we got to budget this out for zero fans in stands. How do we have an athletic department going forward?
And they're already, I mean, some athletic departments are starting to do salary freezes. You're starting to see people laid off. So, I mean, the ramifications of it are huge. You talk to a ton of people around college football. What are they telling you about how different things are going to be, because there's no spring practices and everything is still kind of up in the air for what happens in September?
It's really more about the actual how do we do this. Whereas if you're just a football coach right now, and you are, let's say you're like Mike Leach taking over at Mississippi State or Mike Norvell taking over at Florida State, you don't have that time to put everything together. And this notion that, oh, well, you know, players are going to need a full off season to get ready. No. If the powers that be can figure out how to safely get players on a field playing football, the guys being in shape is going to just not be a factor. They're going to say, hey, that's on you guys. If you're in shape, great. If you're not, too bad, you're going to lose. But it's to be able to put in their systems, be able to figure out what you got. The transfer rules really screwing this thing up because, again, you know, look at, you know, Mississippi State. The guy who I love going into next year's draft, he can stay healthy, is Stanford transfer KJ Costello, especially running the Mike Leach offense. Well, if there was a spring ball, you'd have other guys who would get their chances to show what they could do in this offense and get a leg up, and then Costello would come in the fall. Well, now, if there is any sort of summer camp or anything like this, everyone's starting from square one. And again, the NCAA is going to have to relax its rules a little bit on the whole 15 practice and time thing. And they're going to have to, if this happens, they're going to have to be like, look, do what you got to do to field the team and then get out there.
I asked Shannon Ryan this question yesterday, and I'll ask you today. How confident are you that the NCAA is going to take smart steps that benefit the student athletes and the athletic departments?
Okay, let me put it this way. 1,000% in that they're going to cover their butts from a liability standpoint. And that the only way that this, again, I think step one is just forget about fans being in the stands. That's it. That takes away too many resources, especially for football, the whole thing where okay, on a college football Saturday, Lincoln, you know, Memorial Stadium, Lincoln, Nebraska is like the fifth largest city and all that kind of stuff. That just takes too much away from the medical community and all the things that go into putting together an event like that. So I think fans are out, but they might be able to say, if we get an easy test, an easy way to, if there is a way to 5-hour test these guys or whatever it's going to take, and so we know that the players who are practicing and are on the field are healthy, there's also going to have to be some sort of commandeer and sequester aspect to this, which coaches would love if they can just keep their guys under lock and key all the time. So they're all just kind of around themselves. I think there's a way to kind of do this as long as there's no way a player goes on the field who hasn't been tested at least a day beforehand. But again, we've got 5 months to sort of figure this out. I think what they're, if I were to guess, because there's too much of a vested interest in this, the NCAA is going to take its lead on how the NFL is going to handle this from a just a testing and a safety standpoint. Because the NFL seems to be all systems go in some way, even though no one's really said how they're going to logistically do all this yet. But the NCAA, I think, I would not be shocked if there is some season of some sort that might be just delayed a little bit. I mean, they can ditch half the bowl games. They could ditch non-conference games. There are going to be ways to make this happen. And, again, you've got some pretty smart, very, very vested people in this who are going to try to figure out how to make something happen.
It's crazy, and we're spending a few minutes with Pete Futek of College Football News. You brought up the interconnectivity between media and the sports entities. You're right about the NFL. Like, I was reading that as late as last week, they were still going forward with their negotiations with the networks. And honestly, like, if you look at what's happening to media companies during this, I'm not sure that that's wise on the media company's part. Like, I'm not sure Absolutely. That it makes sense for CBS, Fox, NBC, Turner to even be talking about this, because who knows what their bottom line is going to be.
Absolutely. The one aspect that to remember when it comes to a media negotiation standpoint is it's not even really about this year. This year is going to be what